Welcome to Yara's Grow the Future podcast. Yara is the global leader in crop nutrition knowledge and a producer of quality fertilizer products. Grow the future with Yara.
Hello again and welcome from me, Ken Rundle, and Philip Cosgrave, Yara's country grassland specialist, because, as promised, we're talking grazing and soil fertility this time. Philip, this can be an anxious time as farmers watch their lays closely and pray nothing arises to interrupt progress. Now, we covered early application of nitrogen in a previous podcast, so now's the time to review the next step in the nutrient plan. I suppose nitrogen applications remain a priority. And given the better news recently regarding prices, grassland farmers seem best placed to benefit from that.
Yeah, those that are buying this year certainly have benefited from the drop in prices, whereas last year the opposite was the case and the prices were rising now. So that's good to grassland farmers, because generally grassland farmers tend to buy their fertilizer in season. So that's good anyway, that farmers will benefit from those drops in prices. And I guess for some farmers, this could be their maybe looking at their second application of nitrogen. They may have went on with their first application in February, and then they're looking then at this kind of looking at a second application kind of coinciding as the end of their first round of grazing, particularly on these kind of intensive spring calving herds, dairy herds. But for others in different parts of the country, as you kind of move north, this may be only the first application that's going on now. So I suppose very much, different for different cases, different types of farms. But generally on dairy farms that are looking maybe to get on with that second application as we enter April, second round, to really benefit from that increase that we're expecting in grass growth in April, we're looking at kind of application rates of in and around about 40 kgs of nitrogen per hectare. And that maybe, if we drop that down then for farmers that are maybe just looking at their first application, we're probably talking at applications maybe closer to 30 kgs of nitrogen per hectare. And I must point out that, we'd certainly encourage farmers to be using not just looking at a straight nitrogen product, but looking at sulfur as well, that they use a product that has sulfur in it, because certainly as grass growth picks up in April into May, sulfur is going to have a significant payback on better utilization of that nitrogen that's used. So you're looking at maybe a payback of maybe 7 or 8 to 1 on the cost of that sulfur.
And I suppose we shouldn't forget slurry, should we?
No, and for farmers are looking to get slurry out now, Ken. If it's with a low emission spreading equipment, we're looking at that, for each cubic meter of slurry applied, you're looking at about a 1 kg of available N in that slurry. So, slurry is a great source of nitrogen, but I think we need to be careful where we're actually using that slurry, that we should be prioritizing that where we apply that slurry, because of the P and K, the rich source of P and K that is.
So the response to nitrogen obviously is a quick reward, but as far as overall fertility is concerned, as you've just mentioned, phosphate and potash, P and K, have an equally important role if you want to keep the grass growing throughout the season. And it's keeping that up to date is vitally important.
Yes, and I suppose we're staring into, when we're looking at 2023, if we look at the statistics on fertilizer use in 2022, we saw that there was a big reduction in the amount of P and K that was applied in 2022. So unlike nitrogen, where you can see it in the season if you reduce nitrogen nitrogen application rates, but the effect of phosphate and potash and I suppose decreasing soil fertility is more subtle, so there's no real free lunch when it comes to P and K, soil P and K. So for those that didn't apply last year or applied lower amounts, it's important to keep that in mind, because if we don't have that P and K, it's a vicious cycle in where, you underapply P and K, soil fertility drops, so then you get lower returns then for response to the nitrogen you apply. So it's very important that we keep up with those P's and K's this year, particularly where we'd recommend that, particularly for phosphate, that some phosphate is applied, if it's required, that some phosphate is applied in April because of certain soil factors, colder soils, wetter soils, and the grass, responds to those phosphate applications in April, particularly where you've got low soil phosphate index, or you've got kind of low soil pH. Certainly there you'll see a big response to phosphate. And I suppose, to address the previous question on slurry, this is where you need to be prioritizing your slurry applications. Looking at your soil indexes, soil test results, and applying that slurry where you need to build up soil P and K in particular.
I mean, last year you urged farmers and warned farmers not to mine their soils, and obviously some, because of the financial crisis, did so. But this time around, they can't do that 2 years in a row.
No, certainly not. And it's because grass is the most cost effective feed to feed livestock. So, and P's and K's are an essential part of growing that grass.
Now, one of the things we haven't mentioned so far is selenium. It's something obviously you often mention in your podcasts. I mean, okay, selenium can be provided in animal feeds, in a concentrate feed, but you believe it's worth ensuring that grazing does its share.
Yes, because we're looking at, we know there isn't enough selenium in the grass. And we know then that in certain livestock systems, whether it's beef systems, suckler cow systems, with on sheep farms, and also on these spring block calving herds as well, there isn't that much concentrate being fed to those animals, but they still have quite a high requirement for selenium because they're lactating. So they need this selenium. And I guess one way of ensuring that we get this selenium in, particularly as we approach on suckler farms and also on spring block calving herds, we're in the next 4 weeks or so, 5 weeks, farmers will be starting to introduce bulls or start AIing. And that was a great opportunity to target, in your fertilizer applications, using a fertilizer with that has been fortified with selenium, so that we know then that grass that those animals will be eating as they approach, breeding season, will have enough selenium in it anyway to ensure that there's optimum reproductive performance.
Another thing we've discussed in previous podcasts was managing expensive resources, and we've looked at the paddock by paddock approach, and you've mentioned soil testing and so on. But another aspect to this is how the nutrients are delivered and applied across the ground, just exactly how best to get a spread of fertilizer.
Well, there's often a lot of work goes into, first of all, coming up with nutrient management plan, well, soil testing initially and nutrient management plans, and coming up with the right recommendation rates. The product is bought, fertilizer product maybe is bought, but then I suppose we can fall down on that last hurdle where the actual spreading of that fertilizer. So with all that hard work done earlier, then it can be all lost if the actual fertilizer then is unevenly applied on the field or the paddock. So, and a lot of that comes down to, I suppose, two particular things, is that the fertilizer quality initially, but the second thing is the actual spreader itself, that it's properly maintained and that the actual spreader has been set up correctly for the fertilizer product that's going to be applied. And, you would hope then that can also be checked so that when the farmer has the actual spreader set up, that they can put some of that product into the fertilizer spreader and actually check and see that it's actually been evenly applied. And it's a kind of a worry. There's a lot more urea out there this year, and a lot of farmers aren't used to spreading urea. It has got limitations in how you know, on spreading it and the distance you can spread it. And obviously when you mix other nutrients with it, it can create problems with the even distribution of each individual component in that urea product. And mainly it's going to be urea with sulfur. So that poses issues. So it's important for farmers to take that into account when they're setting up their spreaders. But, you know, they can quite easily get over a lot of those issues. And that, you know, when we look at, I suppose, compounds, we know with compounds that each particle contains all the nutrients. So you don't have to worry about the differences between different constituents in the fertilizer, because it's pretty much, you know, it all has the same physical characteristics. So it can be more easily spread. And also with those compounds, because you've got all the nutrients in the one particle, you know then that there's actually more landing sites. If it's an NPK product, you know that there's more landing sites for both P and K in that product.
And as well as discussing it with folk like yourself, they should also and perhaps sometimes think about discussing it with a contractor, because the contractor's machine gets moved around. He's on a tight schedule very often and tight budgets. And sometimes the readjustment or the recalibration of machinery can be forgotten.
Yes, certainly, Ken. That's, you know, there's quite a lot of fertilizer spread by contractors. So yes, that's an important point as well, that farmers need to be chatting to their contractors to make sure that the contractor is aware of the actual product that's been applied, and that they have, you know, that they have the spreader set up correctly for that.
And it's something you've been will be looking at later this year. I know you tried last year and had an issue to look at spreadability, but it's going to be something else you're looking at as a company this year?
Yeah, we hope to, you know, during the course of the year that we will, you know, look at the spreadability of some of these products and kind of compare it to our own compound products. Because certainly, you know, there's no point in you know, buying products if we can't ensure that all of the nutrients, can't be applied evenly across the full bout width. Because if that continues to happen, then what we do is we end up with areas of the field that are getting more phosphate and potash in particular, and then other areas that are not getting enough. And soil testing isn't really picking up on that, because obviously you're getting a representative sample. So you're taking bits from the highs and the lows, and they're balancing each other out. But that isn't reflected then in specific areas within the field that are either short of those particular nutrients or have got an excess of those particular nutrients.
Now, we whipped through this quite quickly, but from your point of view, what are the main things to remember from this conversation?
I think April, as grass growth begins to pick up, you know, in April into May, you know, it's important to take full advantage of that grass growth curve, because, you know, that will, I suppose, allow you to, you know, to close off more of an area. If you grow more grass on the grazing area, it allows you to close off more area for silage, you know, and to ensure that we've got enough feed for what could be, we don't know whether it could be that some of that feed might have to, as silage might have to be applied during the summer or eaten during the summer if we have a drought or for the following winter. So it's very important to take full advantage of, you know, the increasing grass growth curve that we expect in April and May, and to look at other nutrients, not just nitrogen, but also sulfur, phosphate and potash.
Thank you, Philip Cosgrave, Yara's Country Grassland Specialist. Always an enthusiast and always a stimulating discussion. I'm Ken Rundle, and I'll be back with another of this series of podcasts in a couple of weeks' time. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to Yara's Grow the Future podcast. For more information, visit yara.co.uk or yara.ie.